Ladies and gentlemen, this is DJ Ginger MC, and I have a very, 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 that is three very important things for you to understand. And one, two, and three are all the fact that you are about to get notified.
KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
And there you go. You have been notified that this is Get Notified. You're listening to DJ Ginger MC here at KUCI. That's 88.9 FM in Irvine, and we are live streaming across the globe as well. Now, I am super pumped today because we have two individuals, one who represents the startup ecosystem basically on a worldwide basis, helping to create a support system and discovery process for startups all over the world. Essentially, they are angels when it comes to hacking together businesses. From Angel Hack, we have Addy, and then we have David, who is from a company called Going, G-O-I-N, G-O-I-N Cash. And not only did his team win the regional Hackcelerator, that the hackathon essentially that they won in their own country, they were part of a global demo day competition where 16 startups from around the world competed, and these guys won the entire thing. So I'm super pumped to talk about startups today and entrepreneurs and how they leverage social media, all that good stuff. Addy and David, are you on the line right now?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. All right, Jan.
Hello. And then Addy, are you there?
I am. Hi, Ryan.
Am I saying that correctly? Am I pronouncing your name or am I butchering it?
You're totally fine. That's how you say it, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think how you say it with an accent's way cooler. So, Addy. So, let's start with Addy because you are part of this amazing Angel Hack team, angelhack.com. And explain to people sort of who you are and your role within the organization and what you guys do. And then we'll talk with David about his startup. And then I'm excited to basically talk about how startups can leverage social media, startup communication, and how we are all going to change the world by solving problems. So what is this Angel Hack thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll start by talking a little bit about what Angel Hack is before I talk about myself. So Angel Hack is a female-owned, female-majority company. We like to call ourselves pioneers of innovation. So we essentially go out into communities and we put on hackathons. So we put on hackathons all over the world. We run about 100 hackathons a year, and we use these hackathons to basically ignite developer ecosystems and to help companies, to help people develop prototypes and to start startups.
Okay, so hold on, Addy, I'm going to stop you real quick. So on the show, we have listeners of all ages and all sizes and all everyone, and not everybody knows what everything is that we say. So I've invented this thing. It's called the GTO. Stands for the Grandma Timeout or the Grandpa Timeout. We are equal opportunity for grandmas and grandpas out there. But a GTO is a Grandma Timeout so that you can stop and explain what a hackathon is, or another word, assuming somebody has no idea what it means. So GTO, hackathon.
Okay. So a hackathon is an event that lasts about 36 hours. And in that time, you develop a prototype. So you sit down, you code with a team of people. You may have a particular challenge that you want to work on, and you basically build something within 36 hours and showcase it at the end.
Okay, so it's basically a condensed business development within like a 36-hour crazy smash-up.
Yeah, imagine, you know, a massive room filled with people all at the computers, coding frantically for 36 hours to get out some kind of app.
Now, some people still associate the word hack with hacker in a pejorative or negative sense. So these are not a bunch of Russian hackers that are getting together to try to break down democratic systems or anything. This is, you know, young, inspired individuals. I guess not necessarily young. They're of all ages, right? But the word hack and hackathon is not a negative thing, correct?
Correct. I mean, it depends on where you are. You might have some Russian hackers there. but no, generally, it's not negative anymore. It's really, like you say, young people trying to develop something that has a positive impact.
And so the hack part is they're hacking into, like I know sometimes companies like Microsoft or other big companies will come in with a product and they'll say, hack into this. We'll give you open core, you know, open source. And how can you take this technology and improve it? So you have in any one given hackathon in a 36-hour period, how many, give us an idea of how many people might be there and how many different teams might develop new products and technology.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it totally depends on the region that we're in, right? So some regions are a lot more popular than others as we operate globally. But, you know, if you are here in the States, if you're in Silicon Valley, we may have upwards of 300 people at an event all hacking at the same time. Or you might be in other regions and you might have slightly smaller events. But on average, we generally have about 80 people at a hackathon. From that, you'll usually have teams, maybe about 12 teams. So you're looking at, you know, 4 to 5 people per team.
Gotcha. Now, David, talk to me about your hackathon-ness. Are you like an avid hackathoner? Do you go to these things a lot? Or is this just every once in a while? Tell us about your hackathon-ness.
Yes, the truth is that for me, I'm not an expert about hackathons. I have been maybe at 5 or 6, but my partners and my co-founders, they are real experts on this topic. We have won the second prize in Europe about hacking into Bloomberg, about cryptocurrencies and that stuff, and then other major hackathons. But for us, it was so interesting to participate on Angel Hack because of the prize of going to Silicon Valley and participating on Hackcelerator. And we participated in Barcelona, and after a very long day, we finally won with our solution that was related to saving and investing easily for millennials.
Excellent. Okay, so Ari, he had mentioned this unique part about Angel Hack and explained the system that you basically run hackathons all over the world. Then you take the top 16 and you bring them to Silicon Valley, and then they all compete with, you know, within a room of crazy investors that really sort of ups the ante of a normal sort of prize or trophy. Although you guys do have a pretty good looking trophy with red robes and king and queen hats and everything like that. So that's also cool. But tell us about that system that you have. I mean, David's obviously excited about it, and that's a huge allure to bring somebody from Barcelona all the way to Silicon Valley. That's the system you guys have set up?
Yeah, so, you know, it was a very quick version as you ran down. But essentially, you know, we take these winning ideas and we put them into our pre-accelerator, which is called the Hackcelerator. And, you know, we might have 40 teams that come into the Hackcelerator. During the 12-week program, the teams are required to submit deliverables. They're required to work with a curriculum. We get them speakers. We get them mentors. And at some point during that program, we actually invite the top performing teams across the Silicon Valley to participate in the demo day. So, you know, this year, 2017, we had 16 teams that came to Silicon Valley to participate in our demo day and to pitch on stage. And yes, going, they won that crown, they won that trophy, but our cohort size is actually much bigger. So the way that we filter down the teams to invite the top performing to Silicon Valley is purely based on, you know, scalability and performance across the whole pre-accelerator program.
Okay, so that's really cool. So you have all of these feeder events, and then the winners of those events you put into a larger cohort, and then you step them through, it sounds like, a very rigorous and guided startup journey or tour to find certain deliverables. Then of those in the cohort, you choose the top performing teams, and based on scalability and potential profit and changing the world aspects and whatever else, you bring them all together for kind of like a super accelerated global demo day in front of some of the most influential individuals in Silicon Valley to sort of help juice that.
Yes, exactly.
Very cool. So let's hear a little bit more about you, Addie. How did you get involved with this? And I know that you've got a really cool past, and you've worked with tons and tons of startups. I mean, I actually met you initially in Haiti, which was really cool. And talk to us a little bit about you and your passion for startups.
Yeah, absolutely. My journey towards startups has been quite interesting. I was previously working in Europe. You can tell from my accent, I'm English. And
wait a minute,
You
have an accent?
I have a little accent. I try and hide it, but it comes out all the time. I was working in Europe, and I was in the sort of private equity finance sector. And I really just wanted to get involved in startups. I don't know what it was. There was some kind of calling that was telling me to come to Silicon Valley and just get involved in tech. So I quit my job and I got on a plane and I landed in Silicon Valley. And at that point, I came to just the idea that I wanted to learn more about startups. Right? I just knew it was the place to probably get the best startup education and tech education. And my background wasn't focused on that at all. And then when I arrived, I got incredibly lucky, I like to say, and I got connected to a couple of venture capitalists here in the Bay. And there's something really magical about being in the Bay Area, which is that people really like to pay it forward. So I started to network, and I got connected to a lot of people. And through connecting to VCs and just offering to do work for them, I got connected to Tim Draper. And that's really, I guess, where my startup journey started to change a lot. Then I worked with Tim for about 3 years, and specifically I worked at his entrepreneurial school. So I was heavily involved in early stage startups and really honing entrepreneurs in their journey and what they need to take their startups to the next level. And you know, Angel Hack has always been one of those companies that I've heard of in the Bay. There's a lot of events that Angel Hack do, so they're also connected to Draper, and I met Sabine through that, and the rest is history. You know, as soon as I found out what Angel Hack was doing and how they really wanted to accelerate startups and their global reach, which is really what is so attractive about Angel Hack, I immediately joined the Angel Hack team, and now I'm the director of the Hackcelerator program.
Wow, very cool. So GTO Tim Draper, for people who have no idea who he is.
He's one of the most famous venture capitalists in the world. He was the venture capitalist who made the call on Bitcoin and blockchain, and he is definitely living well from it right now.
And GTO Bitcoin. No, just kidding. Okay. But actually, this is very topical. A lot of talk about Bitcoin. I think people are still really confused. GTO, if you're going to explain to your grandma or grandpa, in like one sentence or something super simple, what is, or GTO, Bitcoin? Actually, okay, hold
this
on.
This is really hard. I'd rather want a GTO blockchain than Bitcoin.
Okay. So, actually, David, do you think you can GTO
yes.
Bitcoin?
A little bit, maybe. It's a cryptocurrency, the first one that ever exists, and it's like digital money. It's about blockchain. It's a protocol, a technological protocol that it's about an incorruptible thing that you can't erase information from this network that has a lot of cool things up top that you can add on the on these technological layers, and then Bitcoin was the first currency that exists inside this protocol, blockchain, and nowadays, today, I think that it's on the highest ever price, that it's almost $30,000.
Okay, this is why people are so confused about Bitcoin. Grandma is literally just going, what? But I like the first one of the first things you said was it's a digital currency. So let's go with that. So Bitcoin is a digital currency. And then, Adi, if you could GTO blockchain. Remember, we're talking with grandma, so you can't go too deep here.
An open ledger.
An open ledger. Okay, so,
And
I think grandma knows what a ledger is, but it's basically, maybe we could say it's like an online accounting system that runs itself and has no human error? Maybe?
Yeah, you could kind of say that, yeah.
Okay, well, we're not talking about Bitcoin or blockchain today. We're talking about hackathons and the Hackcelerator and the Angel Hack program. So, Adi, you have an amazing sort of path. I love the fact you just jumped on a plane and headed to Silicon Valley. It's almost like the actor's approach to Hollywood, but for startups. So congratulations on your success there. So, David, let's talk a little bit about your experience with the hackathons, your company, and then really for the remaining of the show, I want to pick both of your brains on how to best tackle social media for startups, or what are your best practices? And, you know, Adi, what are you seeing that works? And David, what are you doing that's working and not working? But first, let's learn a little bit more about going from Barcelona.
And Goin, it's our startup, and it's focused on leveraging the finance of millennials. We help them saving very easily using machine learning algorithms and a lot of stuff that minimize the effort that they have to do in order to save. And then, with this money that they have saved very easily, they can start investing without any knowledge about investing. All of this is built in an app solution. And then the cool thing that we use is the last technologies that like Kubernetes of Google. Then we use microservices. Then all our data is on the blockchain, on Ethereum, a hard fork of Ethereum. And then for us, it's so cool to do that because in Europe, fintech solutions are not so popular like in America. They are like arriving little by little. And we are proud now to present the product in Europe, and this day that we have launched our business program here in Spain, and we are very happy about the results that we are achieving. We are a lot into press and that stuff, and that's cool that you ask us about social media and that stuff, because we are now just starting about all the advertising things and marketing, but we have cool campaigns in order to convert online users or social media users to app users. And we are like starting this next week about doing like viral quiz, questions to our users using typical social media stuff. And then we are all the answers to this enigma should be complete inside our app in order to advance positions. We are starting working with a lot of Spanish
David. All right, David. You know, Adi, you know why I love entrepreneurs? And you just have to say why. Adi, are you there?
Why?
Okay, yeah, no, let's try this again. Adi, do you know why I love entrepreneurs?
Why do you love entrepreneurs?
It's because they can talk without breathing. I mean, that was so fun. I want to go back and listen to that. And David, I'm not talking smack. I said I love you and I love entrepreneurs because your passion comes through the radio waves. But you, as an entrepreneur, have the largest lungs ever. Because whenever you ask an entrepreneur the question about what do you do, right? I don't know how you do it, but you take the deepest breath ever, and then you guys can talk for like 5 or 10 minutes straight without even a stumble. So I just wanted to give you a chance to breathe there for a second. And this is something I'm passionate about because I believe you can have the best idea in the world, but unless you can communicate it in a way that people can understand, then it's not the best idea in the world. So I work with people, and one of the reasons I'm excited about hackathons in general is that it gathers all these amazing, brilliant people together. They use all their coding skills and their innovation skills, but then the real magic happens once they take the stage to pitch. Now, Adi, I know you are a pro at helping people communicate, so I'm going to ask you a couple questions here, David, and then I think this will help everybody understand a little bit better, because I believe it all comes down to three important questions. And then your challenge, David, is to answer them in as short amount of time as possible, right? So maybe just within one breath. And I'm excited to hear the answers, and let's see where we go from there. So question number one, what is the problem that you solve? not what you do, but what is the problem that you solve? And I'm doing this so that people listening can really understand what you're doing. So what is the problem that you're solving?
We help millennials save more because they don't know.
Wait. This is going to be tough love here. But remember, I said, don't tell me what you do. And you just started to talk about, you know, we help millennials save money. So just from a communication standpoint, people understand problems, not necessarily solutions. So the problem is the problem that millennials are terrible at saving money?
Yes.
Okay. Right. So there's something simple. Everybody out there who is a millennial and you are having a miserable time saving, or you're spending all the money that you make and you have no savings, growing. How do you pronounce? Is it going? G-O-I-N, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So this company is solving your problem. So if you cannot save money, they're solving this problem. Okay. Now, yeah. And now I'm following you. So, David, tell me, what is your solution? Don't get too far into the weeds on how it works, but what is your solution to solve the problem that millennials cannot save money?
Through automation, we solve that problem because we substitute willpower for automation.
So if you substitute willpower for automation, I can just still continue to spend, but you automatically take money out when I don't see it, and then you force feed me to save?
Sure, and then we have partnerships with a lot of places in Spain in order to save even more.
Okay, very cool. Now, you'd mentioned Spain, so my third question is always, who is this for? And you're not allowed to say everyone or anyone, okay?
No.
Who is this for?
It's focused on millennials.
Okay.
Right now in Spain.
Okay.
Then in some months we will launch in the rest of Europe and hopefully in America soon.
Okay, there you go. So you're solving the problem that millennials have a difficult time saving money. You're using automation and some sort of technology to have savings come out automatically, plus you have partnerships. And it's for millennials right now in Spain with the opportunity to grow from there.
Yes.
I dig it. You see how – those are like the three magic questions for me. And for me, that forms this 313 concept that I had. And I'm excited to have gone up to Silicon Valley and shared this 313 with everybody. So, Adi, how important is the ability to communicate the idea as a separate from just the idea itself? Talk to us about that as a concept real quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's hugely important. It's, as you said, if people don't understand what you're doing, or if people aren't able to follow what you're doing, you know, they're not going to buy it, right? They're not going to be interested in the product. So it's an exercise in itself, being able to articulate what it is you're doing. It's a different skill set, and it's something that we try and teach our startups, but it's really difficult to do it, to articulate something in one sentence. It's really difficult to articulate something in 5 minutes. As well, you know, it totally depends on your audience, and you have to be able to talk about your startup in each of those different situations.
And I think this is really the crux of successful online communication. And I like to really think that online and offline communications are very parallel, right? Your ability to sit in front of someone over a cup of tea or coffee, the ability to look them in the eyes and explain to them really what it is that you're doing, that same concept happens online, but instead of just one person, it's potentially hundreds of thousands or millions of people that are involved in that conversation. So if we're going to sort of transition into talking about social media strategy, and David, this is great because you're just starting. Adi, how do you start to help startups kind of go into this online world, right? They're 36 hours with a small team creating something. They get on a little stage and they are able to share their thoughts of this idea and how it'll change the world. Then they work with teams and mentors to sort of refine the image or the message. But how crucial is that step from stage to kind of the online stage? Is that something that you help people go through that transition?
Yeah, it's something that we do try to help you know, the startups go through, and really it comes down to making sure you have a presence online, and that really comes from content that you're putting out there. It's something that startups don't initially think about, right? And it's something that we normally have to push a little bit, especially when you start talking to early stage founders about setting up social media accounts and making sure that they, you know, that they're on Twitter and that they're actually tweeting, or that they're on Instagram and they're actually pushing out content. Because, you know, obviously people aren't going to follow you, or they're not going to listen to you if you don't have anything to say. So it's really about making that transition to get the startups to start putting content out there and putting their brand out there and having a voice, right? I mean, that's also one of the most difficult things, is to really define who you want to, like, project yourself as a company, and how you're going to do that.
Okay, so let's unpack this, because I think what you just said is really the meat and potatoes for whether it's a startup strategy or a department on a university strategy or an established company strategy. There's a couple things that you talked about there. And then, David, we're going to sort of use you as a guinea pig here, and we're going to talk about how you are tackling that whole process. So the first thing I heard you talk about was these different platforms. You said Twitter, you said Instagram. David, what are the platforms that you've identified that you're going to start on? And essentially, for everybody listening, what is the process that you go through in order to choose what platforms to be on? Because there's tons of platforms. What was that process like for you, David?
For us, it's very interesting, Facebook, because it's more about content. For example, in Instagram, you can communicate a lot of things, but only through images. Then the text is not so important there. And as we have to communicate content related with finance, about multiplying money of the users and all that stuff, it's much easier to communicate it through Facebook. For example, if we were a company related with travels, we will use for sure Instagram only, because you can put pictures of all the countries that you sell flights or something. But for us, Facebook, it's so interesting. Then Instagram also to express a lifestyle, like a lifestyle of luxury, a lifestyle that all that you can achieve with the money that you will get and that stuff. And then Twitter, it's interesting for events and that stuff, about tagging other persons or communicating with celebrities and that stuff.
Okay, so Adi, I'd like for you to chirp in here. It sounds like there's a rationality that's going on with David as far as these platforms. In your opinion, what are, I mean, is there a mandatory set of platforms that startups should be on? You'd mentioned Twitter and Instagram. David mentioned Facebook. What's like the minimum that you should be on to have that presence as a startup?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that those three are the minimum. I'd probably put Medium in there now too. I think Medium is not utilized enough from startups.
And GTO, GTO Medium, because people are like, that's how I like my steak, but you're talking about social media. So GTO Medium.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Medium is a website that you can post blogs. It's a blogging website.
GTO Blog.
Blog is written content that you put out there for people to read.
Okay. See, because I still really think that a lot of people are confused by some of the basic terms of online and social media, like the world. So part of my mission here is to notify them of those basic simple stuff. I don't think we realize sometimes the words that we're using when we talk to grandma. Okay, so we have the minimum platforms, which is going to be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and then Medium, which is a platform or a social. Is it a social media site, or is it more like a publishing site? How would you classify that?
I would call it social media, because people, you know, they share the content through Medium a lot, and people use it as a way to really articulate their thoughts, and it can be quite personal with Medium. So I'd now class it in the social media kind of bracket.
Okay, fair enough. So David, are you on Medium?
Sure, we are not using Medium, but we are using one that is very, very similar. It's inside our website and other stuff, and then we share all the content to all the other social media platforms that I have told you.
You see what happened there, Eddie? He is sneaky. He's like, I'm going to answer this question indirectly by saying sure, and then follow up with the fact that the answer is really no, but there's a similar platform, which is just my blog. All right. So So the first step would be basically these platforms, right? Now, David, of these platforms, and I know you're just starting, but which one do you think is the most important for you and what you're trying to communicate of those three or four that you're working with?
For us, Facebook.
Okay, and
because,
why?
For our target, ages, type of content, virality that we can achieve, and all that stuff, it's the best one.
Okay, and then Adi, what is your favorite platform for those, from the from that set?
I'd probably say maybe Instagram right now.
Okay. And there's no right or wrong answer, but I just like to ask people because it is kind of a constantly moving target. But at the end of the day, all of these platforms are vehicles for content. And you had both mentioned that. So let's talk a little bit about content, what it means, the different types of forms, and some questions that I always get around that. So Adi, if you were going to GTO content, it's still such a large encompassing term. But when you're referring to, you know, it's all about the content, startups have to create this content, what specifically are you referring to?
Yeah, so content is defined as information that you want to put out to the public that somehow relates to your startup. So it doesn't have to be something that's, it doesn't have to necessarily be information just about your startup, but something that's, there's something that kind of runs parallel to it. I want to give an example to better explain that. For example, for Angel Hack, if we're putting out content, we don't just put out things about Angel Hack, like, oh, we just ran an event in Berlin. We might also put out content about accelerators in general because it's something that's aligned with the world that we're in.
Okay, so it's not always, your content is not always about you. And this is an interesting differentiation because if people don't know and they're reading blogs or they're searching for how do I, you know, gain traction online and they see this word content, there might be this assumption that the content is all about you. And I think that some people feel social media might come across as narcissistic because people continuously post just about what I'm doing. This is what I think. I. But you're saying a big part of content is just information that could be parallel to your industry, to things that you know, you like or that are parallel. So for in David's situation, it's not just like he's, you know, talking about his app, but he's talking about millennials in general, maybe money saving tips, finances, things around that. Is that correct?
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know,
that's correct.
Go ahead, Adi.
Sorry. I was going to say, you know, these days, people, it's like you say, people just don't want to hear about you. They want to hear that you're also an expert in what you're doing. They want to hear your views on what you're doing and why you're doing it. So it's about getting to a deeper level and being able to talk about things around, you know, your startup is one way to do that.
So, David, talk to us about some of the content that you are either creating or you're looking to create. Some real examples of content, this idea of this information that you want to surround yourself with online.
Mm-hmm. We are creating content related with lifestyle of people that, thanks to using real solutions, can start saving more money. We are giving tips, as you have said, to save more. We are sharing histories of people that has working on finance and has won a lot of money. We are sharing information about technological advances and things that about what you can do with the money that you will achieve, about traveling, about cool gadgets that are nowadays on the market. And we are trying to get a lot of virality, doing like tagging things that users can start sharing this content.
Okay, so there's a lot of good stuff within there. Adi, I know that you can break down content into three main categories. You have video, you have written word, and then you have audio. I guess, images, right? So you've got, let's say, images, video, and then writing. And then I guess, would audio be a fourth component, or does it squeeze in somewhere between the three?
I think we can make it its own at the moment, because you have things like podcasts, which are pretty popular right now.
Yeah, okay. So, because I like to really break things down so they're less intimidating. And if you really only have four options to choose from, right? You can make a video, you can write something, you can create images or image-based content, and then you can record yourself or record other people or have conversations. So those are really the main four ways that you can create content, right?
Yeah.
And what do you think of those four are either the most important, or how would you approach that? Because I think one of the most intimidating things about social media is that there are so many options. Like, okay, there's this message box. Wait a minute. Okay, I can do emojis. I can write something. I can click on this video thing. I can take this picture thing. I can do a link. I can tag, blah, blah, blah. So is there a logic that you talk with startups about? And if you're working with David, how do you get him to understand what the best type of content medium is, whether it's video or audio? Is there any way to determine what would be best for someone?
Yeah, I mean, I think for startups now, it really comes into using a combination of different mediums for content. And again, it really depends on the audience that you have or that particular message that you're trying to convey. If you want to talk about yourself as a subject expert in something, or you really want to display a lot of knowledge, you may want to go for, you know, audio or written content or even video content, because then you obviously have the space to really say what you want to say and go into detail. If you're just trying to capture someone's attention for a second and just trying to draw them in, you may want to use pictures. Right, so it really depends on what it is that you're trying to convey. But for startups now, you really have to use a combination. Video content is becoming increasingly popular now, as well as audio content, like podcasts are definitely on the rise. So I would say really explore the audio content, which hasn't been so prevalent before. But you've got to be using all of them these days.
Yeah. So, David, how is your approach? Are you trying to do one or the other, or what combination are you using? Whether it's the medium of video, audio, images, and/or writing.
I think that the best thing is if you can avoid text. For millennials, always it's better. Then if you can use only images and that stuff, it's the best thing. And then if you use videos, it needs to be so catchy, and it will need to be so short, like 30 seconds more or less and that stuff. But usually you can transmit what you want with only images and with only short videos, and because of that, posts and blogging and stuff, it could be very useful if you want to share more long histories and things that a user can read maybe on the subway or when they want to go to sleep.
Interesting. So I like that you're basically thinking about your market, and you're saying millennials are more into images and they don't want to read text and they want to see emojis and they want to see short form video. So I think that's a really good point to bring that out. And Adi, you had mentioned about the market. So let's talk real quick about, you know, why is it so important to know your market? And this concept of, well, if I'm online, you know, millions of people can see it. Is there more value in quantity or quality when it comes to, you know, getting traction and people actually connecting with you online and consuming your content?
Yeah, I mean, it's so important to know your market, right? Because everything that you do is going to be tailored towards that set of people. And, you know, when we talk about market, it really means the people that you want to capture with your startup, or people that you're trying to sell your startup to. Like David was saying, you know, your target market is really going to define the decisions that you make within a company. And when you talk about social media, or if you talk about marketing, it's very different for different, you know, sets of people. You know, if you look at it demographically, depending on an age range will depend on, you know, what type of medium you want to use. Like David said, with millennials, you want to go for pictures or for short pieces of content. That's why it's so important to know your market that you're targeting.
Now, David, what are some of the things and the steps that you go through to find and discover that market? Because I'm going to challenge you that it's not just millennials, because there probably are some millennials that are really good at saving. There's people who are well off and they're culturally brought up to, you know, save their pennies. So how do you do that research within the millennial group to really find the people that are your target market? Are there exercises that you do? Is there something that you learn from mentors that were at the Angel Hack? What would you give from an advice standpoint for people who are like, yeah, millennials, that's my market. But then you're like, nope, you got to go deeper.
I think that the coolest stuff is that we are millennials and we are doing a solutions made by my millennials to millennials. Because of that, we know better than anybody from another generation how we are. Because of that, yes, that it's true that sometimes it's very interesting to hear interviews of another person that has a lot of knowledge. We have learned a lot with Hackcelerator, like doing research through the other groups or exchanging information. But the true thing is that it's something that we have lived, that we didn't know how to earn more money and how to multiply our money. And because of that, we have done this solution, and we think that we know how to approach to this type of users.
Interesting. So are there certain standard programs that you put people through from that perspective? Because I like the fact that David's like, well, I'm a millennial, so I know. But what if you are a non-millennial targeting millennials, or you are a millennial targeting Gen Zs? Are there specific exercises or suggestions that you put people through, Adi, to help discover what that market really is?
Yeah, I mean, the best way that you can really go and understand if you have captured the right market is to get out there and talk to them and experiment with your product on who you think is your age range. Feedback is key in this kind of thing. So we encourage startups to really get out there into the world and talk to who they think is their target market. Before you ask me about quality versus quantity,
yeah,
in terms of finding a target market, and I'd love to really kind of emphasize to startups is that, you know, there are a lot of people in the world. And if you can really define your target market, so I'm saying that definitely go for quality, because the quantity will follow, because there's just a lot of people in the world.
Okay, I like that. And I actually haven't heard it phrased like that. You're saying instead of it being quality versus quantity, you're saying start with the quality and the quantity will follow. I think that's good.
Absolutely.
I might have to do a stick figure drawing and quote you on that.
It's yours. You can take it.
So, David, is that your strategy? Are you starting with quality, and do you hope to grow to quantity?
Sure, you're right. I think that it's the only way, the only good way to do it. Because if you start with a bad product and trying to arrive to everybody, you do the things wrong.
I like this word, sure. I think that might be my new answer for everything. It's not a yes or a no, it's a sure. Okay, so what we're talking about here, for anybody who's just sort of joining us or you're getting the tag into the show, we have Adi from the Angel Hack crew, and we have David from Goin. That's GOIN.1. That's your email, correct?
Yes.
Not email, your website. I'm sorry. So we're talking about there are these things called Hackcelerators, but before that, there are things called hackathons, not to be confused with hackers. Are you confused yet? So people and organizations like Angel Hack, they put on hundreds of these hackathons, and you get 80 to 300 individuals who are excited about coding, excited about business, excited about entrepreneurship. They all gather in an auditorium or room for 36 hours. Some of them sleep, some of them do not. But at the end of the 36 hours, they have a concept that they're then willing and ready to pitch to a panel of judges. And then it's like a competition. They win. So Angel Hack takes these winners and puts them into an accelerator or an incubator, or basically they become a big mother hen and they sit on everyone. And they have certain deliverables and they challenge them with exercises and they help them push their product ideas well past the 36-hour mark. Then they take the top 16 of those companies and they put them on the stage in Silicon Valley, and the winner gets a trophy, gets a crown, gets a red drape, and they get to connect with people who are in the investment community and want to see them grow. And we're talking here with Goin, who is just starting a social media sort of journey. And based on Addy's initial sort of brain dump, we talked about how important it is to choose your platforms. And as a social media Starting point, you need Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and this thing called Medium, which is like a public blog. Then once you have that, you've got to focus on your content. It can be video, it can be images, it can be written, or it can be audio. And that content should speak to a particular market. And that market is not everyone. It is not anyone. It's a matter of targeting people who would appreciate your product, your service, or have the problem that you're solving. And then now I think this all wraps into the one of the things that Addy said at the end, which really caught my ear, which is the voice. V-O-I-C-E, voice. I don't like to sing, but I like to use my voice. How does voice tap into this whole thing? Because I see that almost as like the icing on the cake, right? That's really what differentiates Goin from the other, you know, 300 fintech companies trying to help millennials save money. So when you say voice, Addy, what does that mean when it comes to social media and communicating your ideas?
Yeah, so it's almost like branding, right, when you're talking about your voice. So it means, how do you want people to perceive your company? And that comes through in how you project yourself out there into the world. So, for example, are you a fun company? Are you one that really engages with your followers? Like, do you use emojis? Or are you just a company that shares updates? Do you like to experiment? All this is part of your voice and how you put your company out there. So, for example, if we were talking about, we could talk about a company like Snapchat. If we were to say, well, what's the company voice of Snapchat? Well, it's a pretty fun company. It's a pretty vibrant company, a pretty young company, and that they've projected that out there with what they do.
All right, so David, pop quiz, what is your voice? How do you want to be seen out there in the marketplace?
We want to be seen as the first solutions in Europe that achieve that millennials save more, and because we want to change the lifestyle of this whole generation.
Okay, so watch this. I'm going to say, sure. But then I'm going to throw it back to Addy. Addy, is that really his voice?
I don't know if that's voice necessarily. I think that is more what you do. I'd say your voice is like knowing you guys. I'd say your voice is pretty fun and pretty knowledgeable. Is your voice very relevant to millennials, like everything you do is around millennials. I'd say fun, but expert is your voice.
Okay. And I'm kind of, you know, pushing you, David, on that, because I think that there is this confusion out there, right? Your voice is different than your goals, right? The difference between being the first company that really establishes the marketplace to help millennials save money, that's kind of like, that's the middle of the cake. But this icing is this voice. And, you know, being known as a fun company, as a company who actually has experts who know what they're doing. Do you see how that's a little bit different when it comes to the voice? Say sure.
Yes, probably.
Sure. I was expecting you to say sure and then go on to answer however you want.
I can change. I think that yes, that probably different, but we think that sometimes we focus so much on the meaning of words, like what its voice, what its goal, and the true thing is that we know what we want to achieve, and because of that, the path is the same.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that, but I'm still going to push back a little bit, and maybe Addy, you would too. This importance of the voice at the end of the day, because here's how I see it. You can be on Facebook, you can be on Twitter, you can be on Instagram, you can be on Medium, you can create videos, you can create images, you can create articles, you can create whatever you want, you can interview all kinds of people, you can know your market, but then if you don't have a voice that stands out or really represents who you are, you might just sort of like fade into gray with everyone else. So again, I'm going to throw this to you, Addy. How important is really defining that voice and then carrying that voice throughout your social media communication?
Oh, it's paramount, because it's as you say, there's so much competition out there, and it's very difficult to differentiate yourself nowadays. And being able to have a voice that's continuous across different platforms is really important because it's also a point of recognition for people. Once you have a clearly defined voice, it's something that, you know, an individual is always going to associate with you. And it's just, yeah, one way for recognition and for differentiation.
So I'm gonna ask you, what is the voice of Angel Hack? Because, you know, I'm curious what you guys are portraying versus sort of either what David thinks and or what I think. Actually, before you do that, David, what do you think the voice is of Angel Hack?
The voice of Angel Hack, I think that it's to achieve that people around the world start like and the entrepreneur way in order to build solutions and create a community of young people that want to achieve their dreams.
See, okay, so I let me chirp in real quick, and then Addy, I want to hear your opinion on it. But that still seems to be like the mission and the value proposition of Angel Hack, but that's not necessarily the voice, right?
Yeah, well, this is a hard question. The voice of Angel Hack, I'd say our voice is very much driven around being like change makers. So we definitely have like a innovative voice, I'd say. A voice which is based on diversity because we have that global reach internally within the company. We're so diverse. So that's kind of underpinning everything that we do. Sometimes a little bit chaotic, but always organized as well. So that, I guess that's how I'd define our voice.
Yeah, and I would also chirp in, and I would say it's a very fun and encouraging environment, right? So being fun and encouraging and diverse and innovative and a change maker. So see, David, how those are all sort of qualities, and those are ways to describe the way that the content comes across, right? That they're more informal. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, they don't write like investment banker tweets, right? They're sort of fun, and they do use emojis. And being in Silicon Valley with everybody, like, there was lots of cheering and camaraderie. It wasn't like a dark place. Like, you guys get red sweatshirts. Red sweatshirts. They look amazing on people, but really good on gingers. And it's like there's this culture that comes as a result of the voice, and then you communicate that through the content, which happens to be on the social media platforms, which then gets in front of the people who you're solving the problem. So that's how I kind of see it all tied in together. Does that sound pretty fair there, Miss Addy?
That sounds great. That sounds pretty fair, yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, we are out of time, but this has been a lot of fun. And David, I am excited to follow your path. People go check out why they are the winners. It's because they're solving a real problem. Millennials who can't save money. Go to goin.one to check them out. And then check out angelhack.com. If you've never been to a hackathon and you want to learn more about it, they are probably the leading global authority. They're fun, they're innovative, they're diverse, and they've got experts like Addy who are going to help you through that process. So you guys, really fun to have you on the show, and I'm excited to be more involved if I can to help how I can in people communicating their message, because at the end of the day, people, you can have an amazing idea, but if you can't communicate it offline or online, it's not as good as it could be. So let's all end with saying hack the hack to hack. That's it. All right. On the count of three. One, two, three. Hack the hack. We got to do it again. We got to make this happen. Here, maybe I'll put a little music behind it. I don't know what the music is. All right. All right. So we're going to hack to the hack to hack. Ready? Go. Hack.
Hack
to the hack to hack. All right, everybody, you are officially a bunch of hackers out there. Check out these guys and think of things a little bit differently today. How can you hack your way through it? We'll see you next time on Get Notified. This is DJ Ginger MC signing out.